Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Jobs report has some enthusiasm into the marketplace on Friday, especially on the Wall Street side. We're up over 15,000 for the first time, I think, ever. But it isn't translating over to the commodities very well, especially wheat and corn.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect with the wheat and corn, probably just some good old-fashioned end-of-the-week profit-taking on the wheat after the tour numbers came out and the final yield and final production came out worse than last year by about 20%, but still better by about 13% versus 2011, Dave. I think that's probably what's encapsulating the wheat and the corn for the most part. On your point about the jobs report, though, I think it's really key to be watching the soy complex here. I do think the coupling of the soybean complex, the crude oil complex, with the S&P 500 has been done again, that we're reattaching these three major asset classes again, and that's probably why we're seeing such a big move in the soybeans, along with the strong cash market that has held us up all week long. But one of the key things that I've been watching the last couple weeks has been when the Dow Jones and the S&P have been rallying. We haven't seen the commodities really turn on, but now we're starting to see the copper, the crude oil, and the soy start to bring in a lot more short covering and a lot more buying enthusiasm. And I think that may be a precursor to an overall shift back to a more favorable, less negative commodity demand outlook that we've essentially been carrying for the past 2 months.
Today's action in the soybean pit, notwithstanding, I can't get terribly excited yet because you look at a July chart, and we're still in the sideways channel that we've been since October of 2012, and we're, you know, with this particular rally, we're now about at to the midpoint of the channel itself, depending on exactly how you mark it, but somewhere between 1398, 1408, you put your line in there. Are you suggesting that we're now potentially in July beans set up to see a rally to the top of that market around somewhere 60, 1460?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say. Because we're looking at a May-July spread of 70 cents premium to the May, with the way the cash market and the basis has been tracking, Central Illinois $1.25 over, Lincoln, Nebraska $85 over, Sydney, Ohio $90 over. We have seen the last 3 weeks a coming together of the tighter and tighter and tighter supplies of the soybeans. And so with the May-July carrying that kind of a premium and the July NOV carrying a $1.70 premium, which is less than 60 cents from last summer's highs, if we can get the commodity demand negativity out of the way and we can rehook up these asset classes that decoupled essentially last Thanksgiving, I think you could see then a sharp move higher, and it would be timing-wise almost ideal from a standpoint of that 2004 model that I continue to run with the soybeans, where the May, the July 2004 contracts really did the heavy lifting during that year, and once those two contracts went off the board, it was extremely hard for the November beans to go any higher. And I'm computing the updated acreage numbers ahead of next Friday's supply-demand report, mm-hmm. and it looks pretty tough for new crop beans when it comes to supply-demand. I think you could gain maybe 800,000 acres from the corn, maybe 800,000 acres from the cotton, and maybe 800,000 acres from spring wheat. So all of a sudden, we're talking about just under 80 million or around 79.5 million acres of beans that I'm kicking around as far as sending to the news wires for my estimates. So this is where that old crop and this front-end drive right here right now really makes a lot of difference to me as far as how I hedge 13 and maybe how I start to hedge 14 as well.
Let's dig into the corn then, which is a full-blown weather market. Let's make no bones about it. It is now a weather market. On Monday, NASS probably going to come in and tell us 9, 10, 11% of the crop in the ground. The number's worse than the three I states likely. The average around that time of year, around 50%, give or take a little bit. So now Sunday night's 10-day forecast becomes crucial, yes?
Yeah, it really does. Now, one thing I will say is what we saw on Tuesday when we put those highs in and we essentially took corn back to the March stocks report, it essentially told me that the March stocks report, because of the tight supplies and, like you said, the weather market that's now in the focal point of the trade, we're back to those price levels for a reason, because we shouldn't have gone that low to begin with, given our current fundamentals. However, the momentum after Tuesday was completely lost with that weaker Chinese PMI data.
And right.
We really saw a turn back to a risk-off trade, and that's essentially what we're talking about here. Could this be a short-term risk-off trade in this jobs report and this new all-time high in the stock market being the real connection, that the connector and the fire plug that really got us going back again with the assets all going up together? I think that's where the corn plays a big role, not just from a standpoint of weather, but also the overall assets as well.
Seems to me if we were to punch the downtrend line coming through the January and the March highs on the December composite, you can make a run to 587 pretty easily, it would seem.
Yeah, I think the key that I put out to the clients this week was, in the first of the week, I really would like to see a close above 570, 575 in the December corn. I would not like to see a rolling back of the September to 570, which was yesterday's low. A close below that would take a lot of technical steam away. And I'm saying that in the context that I think the July wheat has an almost ideal if you want to run a clinic or a technical analysis class, it has just almost a perfect head and shoulders bottom in it that you really don't want to destroy with any negative price action for the next week or so, because that head and shoulders bottom would be suggestive that we could have a very sharp run and we could be very supportive to the corn market. So to me, it seems like a lot of things are coming together here.
What else before we let you go? About 40 seconds.
I think the big thing that we saw this week, Dave, that maybe the trade will start to tap into in terms of what you and I have been talking about, we had great ethanol data in the corn. We had the best production since June of last year. We had weekly export sales about 5% above the four-week average, and we had the wheat sales above estimates. And even the bean sales were very, very respectable. So hopefully we'll see the weather, the demand, and the outside markets come together, and we won't roll these prices back.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulow of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana.